I would like to take a little bit of a different turn into this session, and I would like to politicize statistics. During the first presentation, Lawrence Madger presented us how to build some type of trust in science, basically questioning our interest or our perspective on what is inference. Now I would like to do something similar, but just criticizing, building on a critique of the process that leads us to the collection of data. The politics and policy of building trust in statistics is basically an issue of the process of consultation taking place in the United Kingdom. I come from the University of Puerto Rico. I have very little experience with the United Kingdom, and I'm not looking at this process as an expert in British affairs, but basically as someone interested in statistics that is looking to what other people in other countries have been doing. So first, let me present the relevance of this. The APHA section on statistics clearly established that it wants to be the focal point for the identification of issues, development of strategies, and the promotion of activities in the area of statistics for public health. So it's crucial to ask ourselves, what if citizens do not have trust in official statistics? Should this be a concern of the American Public Health Association statistics section? So let me try just to mention a couple of concepts that we're going to use throughout this presentation, and these are important to keep in mind. First, it is clear that there is some type of objectivity in numbers. Numbers, and especially statistics, appeal to objectivity. It's important to ask why. Basically, because knowledge becomes somewhat impersonal, because it introduces some distance from the researcher to the object under study. And also because of the universality of language, of the language of numbers. This idea appeals to the objectivity of numbers, but as we will see in a couple of minutes, there is a big difference between objectivity and trust. So let's talk a little bit more about objectivity. To talk about absolute objectivity is somewhat unreal. It is difficult to sustain, to think that we are absolutely objective regardless of culture, regardless of our histories, or personal histories. It's kind of difficult to sustain. So some people have been talking about disciplinary objectivity. That is, among the consensus, when there is a consensus among practitioners of a discipline, and mechanical objectivity, that is something I'm going to deal with in this talk, about how do we use rules to have some type of personal restraint and avoid some type of interference from our beliefs to the subject under study. Objectivity and trust is very important that we keep these type of things as separate. And the most important thing here is that trust is a social and a moral problem. And it's crucial to understand this if we're going to politicize this issue of statistics. So what is trust related to? How can we achieve trust? First, by mechanical objectivity, that is by following certain rules, certain established rules that will keep some distance from the, to avoid interference from the actual values and self-interest of the researcher from the object being under study. Second issue is the consistency with other sources. And when we talk about official statistics, it is important to know that regardless of what government says about unemployment figures, the population may think that that is not consistent with their experience. So trust is also a matter of consistency with other sources, including the personal experiences of the citizenship. And finally, with the reputation of individuals, with the credibility of individuals producing statistics. Basically, what this process, what we want to do is to find some type of technology that will help us in bringing trust or increasing trust. And if we're doing that, we need to define certain issues here. First, what is technology? Technology is basically the making and using of artifacts for a rational and efficient action. And to do that, we need to be sure what is an artifact, not to understand why I'm calling this a technology of trust. Artifacts can be material objects, such as machines, tools, utilities as a highways, for example. But there are also artifacts based on knowledge, and knowledge is in itself an artifact. And this includes rules, strategies, recipes, plans, theories, etc. When we want to increase trust, One alternative that we have is to adopt some type of technologies of trust, but basically technologies of knowledge to increase trust. And there are just a couple of things that we should be aware of when we talk about technologies and theories of technologies. The first one is that technologies are never neutral. People studying technology, philosophers of technology, sociologists of technologies are very clear in this. And this is not so much under discussion. Technologies are never neutral. And technologies are always filled with politics, especially when there is a technological advance that would like to change some ways, some traditional ways of doing something. There is a challenge of the status quo, there is politics filling that technology. So basically, let me just go into more specific. What is the problem under study here? What am I going to talk about? Basically, the United Kingdom initiated a consultation process that they called Independence for Statistics. This process basically set up a proposal from government saying we want to build trust in statistics, and we think that these are the ways in which we can build trust. And they presented a series of specific issues that I'm going to discuss in a little bit. But basically what they say is that they requested opinions from the general citizenship to inform that process of building trust in statistics, and 78 opinions were sent. The opinions are in the internet. This is the basic data that I'm using for this analysis. And the most amazing thing about that opinions is that there was a great degree of consensus. People were quite clear about what they dislike from the UK system and what type of things increases trust and what type of things do not increase trust. Who sends opinions? There were 78 opinions, and basically you have opinions from individuals, from professional organizations, some including labor organizations within the professional organizations, public officials, local and regional governments, and actually local and regional organizations have a particular dislike, or let's say a particular dislike of the way the United Kingdom is keeping statistics, because local and regional organizations think that they can't trust, for their local purposes, the way statistics are collected. So for example, unemployment figures at the local level have a very little level of trust. And foreign letters too, they were sent there. It is interesting that among those individuals, the big percent, the 28%, there were a lot of public officials too, but they said they were sending their opinions as individuals, not representing a particular ministry of government. I found it very interesting, the gender of the opinion writers, and it's a distribution that is almost exactly the same as the distribution of gender among the panelists, the presenters in this section. Regardless of the achievement of women in academia and women in statistics, it seems that the leadership of statistical organizations and organizations that use statistics is still a male leadership. Well, basically, what do they say? What caused that erosion in public trust? First, and this is crucial, they clearly consider that it's not a matter of individual statisticians. And it's very important to keep that in mind, because we're going to look at political issues, at structural reasons for the erosion of trust. Second, it was not related to mistakes of the Office of the National Statistics. So it's very important to keep this in mind, since this is not a matter of just individual mistakes or individual appreciations. There are some structural features there that make people not to have trust in statistics. And especially there is an inherent problem of government credibility. I'm going to talk about this in my next slide. And most, actually the big majority of opinions talk about spin. I'm going to define this in a minute. And the misuse of performance indicators by government. So let's start with this. We all know that government have a motivation to be re-elected, and this is related to official statistics. Basically, what happened is this. If government shows that there is a good performance statistics, that the government is doing well, let's say that we're reducing the unemployment rate, then that decreases credibility among the population. On the other hand, if the government says clearly this is our actual rate of unemployment and it's really high, that increases credibility in government, but of course, it's not a motivation for the government to be re-elected. So therefore, we have a conflict situation here. So when we talk about the dialectics of the credibility of statistics and government performance, but basically there's some inherent issues difficult to deal with when governments present their performance indicators. The erosion of trust was also a matter of spin. Let me define this in this way. Spin is a public relations concept and is basically a biased portrait of a phenomenon in one's favor through deception. It seems that in the United Kingdom, there was so much spin going on among official statistics that they even coined a term of spin doctors. People who were very skillful in adding spin to official statistics. Another issue that was related to the erosion of trust was the proliferation of performance indicators. And just to mention briefly, one of the problems, two problems of performance indicators, one is that it provides a tunnel vision of a problem. You can not solve a problem, but you can actually increase or solve or improve the statistics surrounding that problem. And second, there is some type of statistical myopia. I don't know how many of you have myopia here, but it is clear that you can't see from a distance. When you use performance indicators, you can say, for example, that the unemployment figures have been reduced. But if you look at a long trend, you can think that they were too high for too long. But you can say that in the last year, we have reduced the unemployment by 10%. And that is some type of statistical myopia, and that causes also an erosion of trust, because people's perception of reality might be quite different of what an increase in a performance indicators may suggest. So basically, how to improve trust in statistics? Basically, what I'm presenting here, that even when they don't use this term, what most of the people presenting these opinions were asking for is some type of technologies of governance. Let me explain this to you. The crux of the trust issue is who controls the production of statistics. And basically, there is a current political struggle in the United Kingdom about who should control the production of statistics. The adoption of technologies of trust, and looking through these papers, basically depends on three issues. First, if there is a public distrust in official statistics, and there is a lot of distrust in the United Kingdom, if there is an active civil society, a lot of groups interested in making change, and by receiving 78 opinions, that's a lot, that makes it clear that a lot of professional organizations were interested in this issue. And first, if there is a non-authoritarian government, it is clear that the government of the United Kingdom is interested in promoting this dialogue and this consensus, but we're not sure if finally they will accept the suggestion provided. So who exerts control over statistics? First, opinions say that there should be an Office of National Statistics that will be a non-ministerial department, which means it should never be under the executive branch, because it's supposed to evaluate, to present statistics that will evaluate the performance of government. So it should be in other place, but not under the equivalence of the White House or the Office of Management and Budget in the United States. What they suggest clearly is that they should be under Parliament. They should be part of the legislative branch. Not that they are more enlightened people, but at least they are not going to be evaluating the performance of the legislative branch, and therefore it's not so much a conflict of interest. They suggest a bureaucratic design by which there is a national statistician which is in charge of service delivery, but it should be appointed by a mechanism that elicits wide support. So it should not clearly appointed, but there should be some type of open competition of asking for suggestions from professional organizations. And there should also be an independent commission, a board, which will set what is the statistical policy and which oversee the statistical procedures. And the process of nomination for this board, it's not so much consensus, but it is clear that that board should be appointed in such a way that will gain credibility, that their individual members should have credibility. A particular issue that they criticize is some of the minister privileges, and especially should ministers have pre-release access to data. Let me explain this to you. Most of them were against these type of things because they think there is a current source of spin. Basically, ministers have access to data on unemployment, for example, before it is released to the public, and they go early in the morning in the news programs in the morning to say how data should be interpreted, not presenting what is the actual data, but when data is later on released, then the public already is supposed to know what it should be the correct interpretation. And it is clear from most of the opinions here that ministers or head of departments should never have pre-release access to data. In terms of budget, it is clear budget is a crucial way of exerting control. And among these opinions, they say that the budget of the Office of National Statistics should be secure and stable and should be transparent. It doesn't mean that it cannot be reduced, but if it's going to be reduced, a clearly set of specific guidelines should guide the reduction of any type of budget. Regional and local governments were big source of criticism for the current status of affairs in the United Kingdom, and they say basically the Organization of National Statistics, the Office for National Statistics, must guarantee the relevance of statistics for local interests, but they must assure the coherence of those statistics for United Kingdom-wide results. And I was talking last week at the former director of the Office of National Statistics of Spain came to Puerto Rico to give a talk, and she clearly said that had the most difficult task that she achieved, that she needed to face, was specifically that of bringing autonomous regions within the same coherent system of statistics. There is an issue of decentralized production. I'm going to skim through this quite fast. A decentralized production of statistics has your relevance for policy making. That's what some people say, but at the same time, this gives some issues because there might not be independence of statisticians within the minister or within specific branches of government. Press releases, they think, should be signed by the statistician. And this is an unresolved issue because it's not clear how can you have independence of statisticians within a specific branch of government. Just a couple of slides, and I'm done here. There are some important political implications here. Basically, is government creating a type of statistical Frankenstein? We're talking about technology, and Frankenstein is like technology, a machine that turns against its creator. If we give independence to statistics and improve the trust of citizens in statistics, maybe that will turn against government. So citizens' demands for technology of trust could be sabotaged by same government with lots of spin. Finally, my conclusion. Is it possible to separate trust in government from trust in statistics? Can trust in statistics be achieved through adequate mechanisms for the governance of statistics? My answer to these questions are very, very simple. The UK experience will let us know. To finish, I'm just going to present, and taking advantage, a new journal from the University of Puerto Rico, International Journal of Critical Statistics. It's an open, free access journal. We're interested in bringing a critical perspective to statistics and using statistics for social critique. So Lawrence Madge's paper on statistics and the perversion of common sense might be more than welcome in this type of journal. I have some postcards for the journal. They are on the first chair, so feel free to take some.
Well, I think that was an incredibly interesting set of four papers. Are there any questions for any of the speakers at this point? We have about ten minutes. I'll have to ask the speakers to come forward if a question is posed to them. Yes, sir.
If I understand the question, At the local level, there might be a different set of issues, and especially because the media can be some type of a watchdog of official statistics, let's say. Well, I don't know exactly what to say at the local level. I have been more interested in issues at the national level. But I should say something about the media, and is that it is clear to me, and I have talked with many other people involved with national statistics, that there is some type of statistical illiteracy among the media. And media tends to distort issues of statistics. So I will say that it's crucial to cultivate a good relationship with journalists. And maybe one key issue will be to inform journalists about how to interpret statistics.
On that point, I heard yesterday that the American Statistical Association has created a course for journalists to teach them about how to interpret statistics. So if there's some interest in that, you might want to get in touch with the American Statistical Association. Are there further questions? Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure I understand the last part of the question. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Okay, let's put it in this way. Thank you for the question, and it's good because I didn't mention that in that detail. The government of the UK launched this proposal for independence of statistics, and they receive, not through the internet, they receive through many sources, 78 opinions from the Royal Statistical Society, from the Society, the Users Group of Statistics, from the Association of Economists, and then they publish those opinions. They scan it, PDF documents, so those 78 opinions are in the internet. Therefore, people have wide access to all the opinions that form the basis for this decision-making process of government. Thank you.